It's Easy at 105.9 and Easy at 100.7. Continuous light favorites like Christopher Cross. It is 9:30, and our Wednesday morning means it's our chat, our daily weekly chat with Dr. Brian Adler, South Strand internist. Well, first of all, good morning, Dr. Adler.
Good morning.
So we're going to cover a topic that is sadly really common, and I think it's really bad in this part of the country, too, high blood pressure.
That's right. Hypertension, particularly in the South, is one of the leading causes of cardiovascular disease and death. Mainly because in this area of the country, again, either many people are not treated, undertreated. Many different factors can influence family history, alcohol consumption, diet, obesity. But again, it's called the silent killer because, again, many people can be walking around with high blood pressure for many, many years, even as early as in their 20s, where it's never been identified, never been treated. And the long-term effects are devastating. Long-term effects of high blood pressure lead to heart disease, heart attack, death, strokes, kidney disorder, eye disorder, circulation. The list goes on. So, again, hypertension, the silent killer, is often not diagnosed or misdiagnosed many times, mainly because many people who don't have ongoing primary care physicians and who just see doctors intermittently for a cold may get their blood pressure checked, and it might be high in that particular office visit, but nobody follows it up, nobody checks on it, and assumes that it goes back down. It doesn't. And again, it could go many, many years without being properly treated.
And that, of course, is a bad thing. And you know, you say the silent killer. Symptoms, anything?
Well, yes, very high blood pressures. People can have headaches, dizziness. They don't feel good. They can be short-winded. They can have visual problems. So some very high blood pressures do present with significant symptoms. The majority of people that I see who have high blood pressure, again, aren't necessarily having no symptoms. But, again, I'm seeing the effects of it for many, many years. So I'm seeing signs of heart disease, eye disease, kidney disease. So, again, many of these people who have not been treated are already, sometimes as early as their 30s and 40s, showing signs of disease as a result of the blood pressure that's been present and untreated for many years.
So if we're talking about high blood pressure, is high blood pressure, the ranges, are they different than they used to be? And does it change for somebody that may be in their 70s compared to somebody in their 40s?
Yes, so we've gone through several changes in guidelines over the years. I think the current guidelines are fairly reasonable from the standpoint that in individuals 65 and under, you know, we generally like to see blood pressures in the range of 120 over 80, sometimes a little bit of a margin either way. So some people may run as high as 130 or 140. On the top number called the systolic, or even as high as 90 on the lower number, which is the diastolic. And for some people, that's as good as you're going to get.
Right.
Now, as you get into elderly populations, 65 and older, depending on their condition and health, the guidelines tend to be a little less aggressive sometimes. There's still controversy. Many studies suggest that good blood pressure control at any age is helpful and improves and reduces the risk of stroke and heart. But the flip side is, for many people that I see, particularly older people, their blood pressure can be aggressively overtreated, and then these individuals start to get lightheaded. They can fall. They can get confused. So there's some risk with overtreatment. So you have to individualize therapy based on age, based on risk factors, and what's realistic for that particular patient. And making an accurate diagnosis, which is also very important, because many times blood pressure readings in the office are not really accurate of what people do on a regular basis. For example, many people have so-called white coat syndrome. They come into the office and their blood pressure is always high. If they check it at home or they go to a pharmacy, it's normal.
Yeah.
So for any patient where there's a question, typically, I will either recommend that they get a frequent blood pressure check, whether they come into the office, they go to a drugstore, or they buy a cuff, which is now readily available and fairly inexpensive. And people can check their own readings, keep a record of it. Often they'll bring it in to my office where we will review it, and see what the average readings are. If they're typically running high and above average, these are the individuals that we frequently treat.
Now let's talk a little bit about the best ways to control your blood pressure outside of medication. Let's talk about diet and exercise and those sorts of things, because it's critical.
Well, yes, an ideal body weight, reduction of alcohol, reduction of salt, all these things help to lower blood pressure. Many people have lowered their blood pressure by substituting table salt, which is sodium chloride, with potassium-based salts, potassium chloride, or salt substitute. And again, substitution of sodium for potassium I've often seen as one way to lower blood pressure, as well as exercise, and trying to restore normal body weight. These will often lower blood pressure readings. Alcohol can contribute. And also, you know, lifestyle. You know, people have very busy lives, a lot of stress, lack of sleep. Many are taking over-the-counter caffeine, nicotine, energy drinks. You know, all of these things can stimulate and cause elevation of blood pressure.
Are there any foods, particular foods, that we should be avoiding other than the high sodium? Or are there foods that's like, you know, you should be eating these foods to help with your blood pressure and overall heart health?
Well, no specific foods other than, again, with general diet, we typically recommend a balanced diet, not in excess of any one thing or another.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, I've seen people who are vegetarian and have high blood pressures because they don't have balanced diet. And then the other extreme, people who are, you know, excessive with, you know, high fats and fast foods. So, again, I think a good balanced diet of healthy, more natural foods, so-called antioxidants, which are in all your colorful vegetables and fruits, along with sources of protein, which is in, you know, your fish and chicken and low-fat beef. You know, all of these things in a good, healthy diet will help maintain reasonable blood pressures. But, again, for others, the diet doesn't play as much of a role.
Mm-hmm.
And again, for people who are unable to lower the readings with these changes of lifestyle, will often require medication.
Well, I do know personally, when my weight is down, my blood pressure is down. It's not that complicated. All right, and then one last thing before we do let you go. In terms of blood pressure, it's a range and a continuous monitoring, it sounds, that's most critical.
That's true. Again, it's not any one specific reading. And again, I'll have patients that come in and they're very concerned because they have spikes in their blood pressure readings during the day or several times a week. And again, I try to counsel and reassure people that, again, it's a range. So, you know, we try to get it within a range that takes people out of the high-risk zone for strokes, heart, kidney, and all the rest.
Well, it does. Your blood pressure goes up and down for various reasons.
That's correct. It will fluctuate anyway. So, again, more concerned with getting a range of readings, trying to find a happy medium between not getting the pressure too low, where patients can have symptoms of dizziness, not having unnecessary side effects from medications, and, again, trying to keep the pressure readings within a range that will reduce their long-term risks.
Well, and, of course, if you are not seeing a physician on a regular basis, that's going to be the first thing. And a place to start, of course, is South Strand Internist. Dr. Brian Adler, we'll have this up on your website as a podcast, and we should do this again in a couple of weeks. We'll get together then.
We look forward to it.